Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Bloomberg, the mayor from New York City, he's taking on a new cause. Now, he tried to ban the super gulp sodas because...
People are getting fat.
Yeah.
Too much soda.
There's an ideology that government knows best out there, and they can tell you what to eat and control all areas of your life. I thought these were the United States, you know, the home
of the
brave.
Of the
land of the free.
Home of the brave, yeah.
You know saying? What is all of this telling you what you can drink and what you can do?
Yeah.
Well, he wants to impose recycling for food scraps. Food scraps. I want you to listen to this segment from CBN. And very interesting. Have it ready here for you. But actually, we thought we had it for you. Actually, we don't have it for you right now. What I want to share with you, though, and I'll just tell you about it. He's taking this cause, and he's taking it to New York City residents. And under the program, listen to this, under this program, residents would collect food waste and put it in picnic basket-sized containers in their homes. It's like, okay, just one more thing to do. And it's like, I don't understand this type of concept. I mean, why the continual control and exercise of putting your authority over folks that just want to live free?
Yeah.
I mean, especially like in New York, I mean, you understand that I've lived near the city, been to the city. This is like one more thing to do. You know what I'm saying? One more thing to lug out. I mean, I want you to listen to the segment. We do have it available. Listen up.
John Waggie, CBN News.
Amen. Well, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, in other news, is taking on a new cause. This time, a plan requiring New Yorkers to separate food scraps for composting. Under the program, residents would collect their food waste and put it in a picnic basket-sized container in their home. Those containers would then be emptied into large brown bins on the curb for pickup. Officials say the program would start off with 150,000 single-family homes, 100 high-rise buildings, and 600 schools. But by 2015 or 2016, the entire city would be expected to participate. If Bloomberg's plan is embraced by New Yorkers, it would represent the biggest expansion of recycling efforts for the city since 1989.
You're looking here at a government. You're looking at Mayor Bloomberg in particular and those that follow that ideology of that government knows best and it has to be involved in every bit of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting how there's a continual emphasis on what you eat, on your food, how to discard it. It's like, wait a minute, step out. Step out of my home, step out of my food, step out of what my life here, because the government doesn't know best. You should have your own right to eat and do what you want. And it's like, food scraps, have you seen the trash in New York City? I mean, if those guys go on strike, it is horrific. Is it, you're worried about recycling food scraps? Let's clean up some of these other major areas. You have something like 80% of the kids that are graduating from New York City schools, and we shared this on VFN radio, can't even read. They can't even read. Why are we emphasizing on the control of human beings when we really should be empowering them and the young people in some critical areas, especially in the city of New York, like education? If your students can't read, I mean, I would consider that a huge problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I consider that a huge problem. But again, it just goes to show you, I mean, we used to be able to laugh at this type of stuff. And no, it's not a joke, but it's like, there's comes to a point of an arrogance,
yeah,
an audacity that the even thought that you would want to consider that you know best, that the government knows best, and the average American citizen needs to be told what to do.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you, that's why we have a constitution. We have a constitution to protect us. We have rights, and it stops the government from imposing all of these laws and stipulations and control mechanisms to infringe upon the everyday freedoms that were given to us by the Lord. We know we've been talking quite a bit about the Constitution, the importance of the Constitution. And listen, if you have not been listening to VFN Radio, if you have not been listening to the news at large, but you got to understand that the Constitution is under attack.
Mm, yeah, big time.
Your freedoms and your rights are under attack. And on the other side, there's a lot of wonderful Americans that are rediscovering the Constitution.
Yeah.
They're rediscovering the God-given rights, and they're understanding the purpose and the framework for which our founders actually established the Constitution. If you don't understand the origination of anything, how could you appreciate what you have? And that's why we have the original intent of the church, the original intent of the country, the Constitution, is so that we can understand what was originated in the design. When you look at anything that was ever created or made, it's always wonderful to be able to look at a manual or to understand or see an interview of the person that created it. I mean, before he died, Steve Jobs would do a great job, not just talking about the product, but discussing the why and what the product does and what were they envisioning in their design. I've never seen a product that has so many specifications, feel and look and the quality and the engineering and the style and how it sounds and all these different things, because they had an intent. They had an understanding of what they wanted to produce before they produced it. And so we have a Constitution that just wasn't thrown together. We have a Constitution that wasn't just a bunch of good ideas thrown on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. But there was a mindset. There was a debate. There was a thinking. There were men that got together and said, listen, we want to form a country, but we want to break free from Great Britain and what the king did over there. We certainly don't want to see that happen here. If you understood what happened and what was happening during that time, you'd have a greater sense of understanding, of appreciation. Mm-hmm. This wonderful, amazing document. And you know, last week we talked about, we shared President Ronald Reagan talking about the Constitution. We're going to make this related for you on the torch. And he was talking about how all the constitutions around the world, he's seen plenty of them. And what he said, what distinguishes the constitutions from other countries from the constitution that we have in this country are three powerful words. We,
the people.
The people.
People.
We, the people.
That's right.
See, we, the people, is about us, the citizens, telling our government. We are electing representative government that speaks and acts on our behalf. These other constitutions are all about what the government can do for the people. Well, that's not the type of constitution we have. It's not the form of government that we have. We have a representative government that we elect to go to D.C., to go to, you know, where they are, state capitals, to represent us and what we want as a nation. I want you to listen. I want you to listen to Judge Napolitano as he talks about the Constitution, and he shares. This is a series, and this is the first part of this series that we plan to bring to you, but this is basically the framework, and it just talks about the Constitution. There's other parts that follow are the Constitution and Congress, the Constitution and the President, the Constitution and the courts, and the Constitution and the states. It's so important that at this time, especially in this season that we're living in, that we truly understand what was the original intent of this great document. Listen up.
Constitution of the United States of America, with its written limitations on government and its written guarantees of human freedom, is the greatest political document ever written in the history of the world. It is the foundation of the American government, and everyone who works in the government takes an oath to preserve, protect, and defend it.
The creation of the American Republic, with its written constitution and guarantees of personal freedom for the individual, is the greatest development for freedom in the history of the Western world. The reason we have a constitution is the fear the founders had of an all-powerful central government. and the fear was real. When we were colonists and the king and the parliament wanted to raise money from us, they thought of ingenious ways to do so. One of the ways that they raised money was with legislation called the Stamp Act. It required that every document that the colonists had in their homes, a book, a bank draft, a deed, a lease, a mortgage, even a pamphlet or a poster, had to have on it a stamp bearing the image of the king. Question: how did the government know that every piece of paper in one's possession bore an image of the king? Answer: the Parliament enacted the Writs of Assistance Act. This law authorized British soldiers to knock on the doors of any colonist's home and write themselves permission to enter. They could literally write their own search warrants and then enter the colonists' homes under the pretext of looking for the stamps. Of course, while there, they frequently could help themselves to property. They could consume alcohol. They could seize furniture. They could even take over the home and expel the colonists and use the home as their own living quarters for as long as they wished. This act was the last straw. We fought a revolution. We won the revolution. We wrote a constitution. In writing the constitution, in that hot and sticky summer of 1787 in Philadelphia, delegates were sent from each of the 13 colonies. They had a great debate. The debate was over the origin of our freedoms. The James Madison and Thomas Jefferson folks argued that our freedoms come from our humanity. After all, Jefferson had just written in the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This understanding of the origin of our freedoms is called the natural law, and it teaches that because we are created by God in His image and likeness, and because God is perfectly free, He created human beings as perfectly free. Thus, freedom is our birthright. So our right to live, to think as we wish, to say what we think, to publish what we say, to travel, to worship or not to worship, our right to defend ourselves from anyone, even against a tyrannical government, our right to own and enjoy property, and our right to be left alone, are as natural to us as the fingers on the ends of our hands. The opposing argument in Philadelphia, which was made by the big government crowd of the day, the Alexander Hamilton and John Adams folks, was that our freedoms don't come from our humanity, they come from the government. These folks argued that without the government, there can be no freedom, and the same government that gives us freedom can take it away. Because we have majority rule in this country, if the majority voted that there would be, for example, no freedom of speech, under this theory, freedom of speech would be gone. Fortunately for all of us, Jefferson's views prevailed, and the concept of natural rights, rights belonging to us by virtue of our humanity, is instilled in the Constitution and in the Bill of Rights. These two documents taken together state the reasons for which the federal government came into existence, establish a president, a Congress, and a court system, each with separate and distinct responsibilities and powers. They retained certain rights for the people and for the states. Remember, in Philadelphia, it was the states that came together to create the federal government. The states gave a little bit of their powers to a new central government, and they stated just how little and just what those powers were in the magnificent document we call the Constitution. They added a Bill of Rights because they were worried that a new central government in the new capital of these United States might someday do the same thing to them that the King of England and his Parliament did to the colonists. Has this system worked as intended? Has the government followed the wishes of the framers? Has it stayed within the confines of the Constitution? The Constitution and the Bill of Rights were written for two purposes. The first was to establish and define the government, and the second was to keep the government off the people's backs.
Without the Bill of Rights guaranteeing human freedom, there would have been no Constitution. And that's why everyone in government, from the founding of our country until this very day, takes an oath to uphold the Constitution and human freedom.
Wow, powerful. Absolutely powerful. And he does a great job, Judge Napolitano does a great job in speaking about the original intent of the Constitution. I mean, most people don't understand that we had a Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. We were saying, Great Britain, mm-hmm. King George, we are out of here.
Yeah, right.
We're not a part of you guys anymore. This, we've had enough. And we have this Constitution to protect us from a tyrannical government. It has written limitations on government as well as guaranteed freedoms. And they feared basically what happened with King George to happen all over again. That's called wisdom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You learn from your experiences, and they certainly didn't want to see that again or lose that experience. When we come back, we're going to talk about this in more detail, because you understand that, listen, blood was shed. People fought wars. Husbands died. Fathers died for freedom. Mm-hmm. This is not a new concept that you see now because we have a military. This has happened from the beginning and the founding of this nation, mm-hmm. that this nation was fought for to be created so that we can have freedom,
yeah.
and we can serve God freely. This document wasn't just thrown together and made a good idea. No, there was an understanding. Something had happened. And, you know, the colonists were under the rule of King George in Britain, and he was a tyrannical ruler.
Mm-hmm.
He set himself up as the head man there and integrated the church with the government, and it just got whack.
Yeah.
It just got whack. And one of the things that happened is that they instituted the Stamp Act, and there was just this way to raise money and tax the folks there in the colonies. And the thing with this Stamp Act is that they had to have this stamp on every document that they had in their home, everything,
yeah.
whether it was a pamphlet, a book,
right.
a desk, they had to have this stamp with King George's image on it. And so the only way that they could verify if indeed, Steve, you had this stamp on your notebook or on your journal.
Had to come in your home.
Yeah, they had to come in your home. And so how could they justify that? They made this law, the Writ of Assistance Act,
mm-hmm.
which gave the soldiers the authority to basically write their own search warrant.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? I'm going to write my own search warrant and come into your home, your privacy,
mm-hmm.
and go ahead and start looking and searching through things. They're talking about the invasion of privacy,
yeah.
mm. and the abuse of power that could take place during that time.
Well, and you look at that, I mean, that would totally violate as far as what we've already established in our own country, because when our police or SWAT teams or whatever, they have to go before a judge and say, hey, here's the evidence. They have to spell it out, and they have to get basically written authorization in order to have that search warrant. And it's just like they would bypass that completely, and it would just be, they'd be just let loose,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, that's why we have the Fourth
yeah.
Amendment.
Yeah,
that's huge. We have the Fourth Amendment because they learned wisdom from that time, saying, right. wait a second, we don't want this to happen again. We don't, right. when we set right. up this new government, when we set up this new
yeah.
you know, country here, mm-hmm. we want to be able to establish it so that we don't revisit
yeah.
the tragedies of the past. And you can imagine the abuses of power that took place when these soldiers would come in,
mm-hmm.
feed me, take whatever they want, in and out. And at any given time, you literally had no, mm-hmm. no freedom.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about it. You knew that was the Fourth Amendment. If you did not know that was the Fourth Amendment and someone was saying that they can do it, you would have no idea that that's violating your rights that's in the Constitution. If you had a bouncy ball in your closet...
You mean if that happened now?
Right. If that would happen right now in our present generation, in this time, and someone who were to say that I have the ability to go in your house without saying I'm violating your Fourth Amendment, but you don't know that, how do you know to fight for it? How do you know to say, no, this is my right, you can't have that?
Yeah, where's your search warrant?
Exactly.
Well, that's why we're doing what one of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing now is we had to get ourselves educated
mm-hmm.
on
mm-hmm.
the Constitution and what right. those rights were and be familiar with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing that you just got to learn these in grade school and you never look at them again. I think there's a lot of freedoms that we have just taken for granted.
I don't remember ever being taught in school.
And
not
some?
No.
You know, to be honest with you, I really don't remember either. I really don't remember. There was a general...
they probably talked about it.
Yeah,
nothing,
the Constitution
nothing
general.
In it.
Right, yeah. Right. And, you know, things change. I think a lot of times we've been able to... it's a statement that we've said before on the radio. You can be ignorant for a long time in a blessed land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that ignorance that is wearing really thin right now. And that statement is no longer true. I mean, you can pay for your ignorance. You know, said my people perish for lack of knowledge, and ignorance is without knowledge.
Yeah.
And right now, you need to know what you need to know. You need to know that we have this document. Which basically they had the ability to put it on paper to give us this, you know, to recognize a form of government that would recognize the rights that come from God and God alone. Mm-hmm. And that's so important because there's a big debate that's going on right now whether the rights are actually given by the government or they're given by God. And the truth is that, and they talked about this here in the segment, that James Madison and Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, came from the approach that all of our rights come from God. In fact, Jefferson wrote it in the Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. Then you had the other side, as they were debating this and had this debate, which was John Adams and Alexander Hamilton, had we may need to check this, any relationship there. But anyway, on to back to the Constitution.
Actually.
Yes, please tell us.
On my wife's side.
Yes.
Her father's mother, which would be, I guess, Tracy's grandmother, her maiden name was Hamilton.
Was it really?
Which she is related to the Alexander Hamilton.
Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Wow.
Small world.
Small world. But they were on the other side. Alexander Hamilton, I'm not going to hold that against you. You're on the right side today. You're on the right side today, and that's what matters. That's what matters. So we will not review the past.
Yeah.
However, Alexander Hamilton and John Adams thought that big government was the one that provided the freedom and the rights. And if that was the case, that means they can give it the rights and they could take the rights away. What is that? That makes you subservient to the government. And because we have, we have a majority of rule as the standard, like you said earlier, that if they decided that, okay, we're going to take away freedom of speech, then you wouldn't have freedom of speech anymore.
Yeah.
And so, which means that you're basically, your rights and your life are held ever so loosely by who, you know, whatever controlling person gets, you know, in the government. I mean, you could literally destroy your freedoms and the freedoms of your children and your grandchildren. And so we're so grateful that through God's providence that the right approach really won out. And that was basically what is the truth, that all of our rights come from God and that every form of government, anyone that works in government really takes an oath. They take an oath to defend the Constitution, to protect, defend, preserve the Constitution. And we see that happening every day with our law enforcement. We see that, you know, happening all over the place and those that work in government. But we need to make sure that we hold everyone to that. You know, you got to hold everyone to what's written on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
As Dr. King said, all we're doing is just was to hold
you to what's written on the paper.
Written on the paper. Mm-hmm. It's written on the paper. And it's interesting. If you look at today's society and look at what the government's doing, you would think that the federal government is the one that's in charge right now. You know what I'm saying? That the states take a lesser role when in fact...
It's the
original intent, in the reality, in the beginning of all of this, the origination, what happened? The states were the ones who decided to create a federal government and to share and give up a little bit of their power for this federal government. But it was the states.
Mm-hmm.
And by looking at the picture today, you would get the idea here.
Yeah,
that the federal government runs the show,
and
really, it's the states, it's the sovereignty of the states, and we need to remember that. We need to remember that. And people joke that Texas may secede. You know, I don't know if they'll secede, but think about it. I mean, the states have power, they have rights, and it matters who your governor is. It matters who you vote as your representative, because each branch of government has the equal power.
Right.
And it's amazing that, you know, you see media today, it's like whoever they give the voice to is the one that gets amplified. But that's not what the Constitution says. That the president, the executive office, the judicial, and the Congress, they all have the same equal power. These are checks and balances to make sure that we don't have a president that goes out of control, or that we don't have a Congress that goes out of control, or that we don't have a judiciary branch that wants to change the Constitution and interpret the Constitution instead of just executing what the piece of paper says.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge difference. So all three forms of government are there to protect it, to serve it, to defend it, and to keep the other forms of, you know, government in check. We're going to continue this series, and we're going to continue to revisit it because it's so important, not just for us in this day that we're living in. Well, my goodness, we have a country right now that for the first time in many people's lives, we're praying to see if it's going to stand.
Yeah.
We see so many attacks on freedom. We see so many attacks occurring on the Constitution from the Second Amendment, you know, trying to ban guns, which is a whole other topic completely that we've covered extensively on The Torch, and I encourage you to do so. And also, the Fourth Amendment, the right to search. Listen, there is a form, there is an amount of privacy that anyone can have. I mean, the privacy is given to you, and it helps to protects us, the Constitution. I'm telling you, listen to these segments, share with them with your friends. If you go to The Torch and go to the right-hand corner, you can search Constitution, and you will see a series, many of these segments. Make a list. Go through them. Share with your friends. Talk about them with your family, with your kids, because we have to let the next generation be informed. We don't want to make the same mistake that happened to us, where we didn't actually know or remember being taught, and we had to learn later as an adult the value of the Constitution. Why not raise up the young people now today with a clear understanding of why we have this great nation? And listen, July the 4th is coming up. It'd be great going into July the 4th knowing why this country was founded.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.